Welcome to Get Over It, the thought-provoking show that deals with the topics of the day, along with some humor mixed in. I'm your host, Harry Spencer. You're reminded that the opinions expressed in this show are mine, as protected by the Constitution of the United States. This unfunded show is locally produced in Dade City, Florida, and you are welcome to use it any way you see fit, so long as you don't accept any remuneration. You may email comments to me about the show to dcmicroradio@earthlink.net. That's dcmicroradio, one word, at earthlink.net. You can also listen to repeats of this show as well as other alternative news and talk programming by going to live365.com and search for Get Over It. Bookmark the station location for future use. New users will be prompted for a one-time setup for this free service. Welcome back to the show, and let's take a look at AP's top news stories for the week. And I will comment, Bush says he's the best protection from the draft. President Bush turned the table Saturday on Senator John Kerry, declaring the best way to avoid the draft is vote for me, and pledging to oppose mandatory military service. The Democrats stuck to basic domestic issues, blaming Bush for a shortage of flu vaccines. Kerry also opposes the draft and suggested that reelecting Bush would greatly increase the prospects for one. The president, fearing that young voters would be swayed by the charge, fired back, "The person talking about the draft is my opponent." First of all, guys, these are absolutely the worst two possible people you can have running for president of the United States. One is a totally incompetent boob who is obviously manhandled by people such as the likes of John Ashcroft, Donald Rumsfeld, Big Dick Cheney. And then you got John Kerry. Kerry, you know, come on, guys. The Democrats can come up with somebody better than John Kerry. Looking at a rally down at the University of South Florida the other day on the tube, and here we are with people singing guitars, singing Blowing in the Wind. You know, they have never got out of the 60s. The Democrats need to deliver somebody who has a knockout punch. And John Kerry, quite frankly, and he might win the election, but he is absolutely awful. And so is Bush. There's other candidates out there running. And so then I hear this story, well, I'm going to waste my vote if I vote for so-and-so. I had somebody tell me the other day, if I didn't vote for Kerry or Bush, then I was wasting a vote because I was not voting that would affect an outcome. Unbelievable. Just remember, voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. And John Kerry and George Bush, they're pretty much about as evil as you can get. Getting back to Kerry's comment, here I get a little bit of a tirade that Bush was responsible for the shortage of flu vaccines. Come on. Congress is responsible, in which John Kerry is a member. And long before President Bush, with all of his faults, Congress passed laws that enabled businesses to go overseas, receive tax credits. He's part of the problem. He's in there blaming the President of the United States for something that he's part of. You got to wonder how a country that is described as the most technically advanced and powerful economy in the world can't muster up enough flu vaccine. Well, it's because there's nobody here making it. And we talk about globalism, how wonderful globalism is. That just means ship everything out of here. And you pro-globalist types that still have work, how long do you think this country can continue to operate without a manufacturing economy? We're shifting more and more and more to a service economy. You guys just don't get it. U.S. forces continue to assault in Fallujah. U.S. forces battled insurgents around the rebel stronghold of Fallujah on Sunday after two American soldiers died when their helicopters crashed south of Baghdad. This is a mess. By anybody's stretch of the imagination, what's amazing is that I continue to hear the same stories that peace and prosperity is just around the corner. We are rebuilding democracy. The world is safer today? I don't think so. And I remain unconvinced that Saddam Hussein was ever a threat to the United States. He might have been a threat to Israel. And Israel, the people that want him out. So why didn't Israel take him out? That's the most heavily armed country in the Middle East. This is Israel's war. This is not the United States' war, and we've taken perfectly good friends and allies and turned them into enemies. And now I'm hearing the same stories I heard when I was a kid during the Vietnam War. The same stuff. And some of the people that bought into it then are buying into it again. And along that line, from London on Associated Press, Anand says, Iraq war has not made the world safer. The U.S.-led war in Iraq hasn't made the world safer, U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan said in a British TV interview. I cannot say the world is safer when you consider the violence around us. When you look around, you see terrorist attacks around the world, and you see what is going on in Iraq. I'd like to know what the heck the UN's done in the last 50 years. Name one country the UN has ever occupied that they ever left. You know, I don't agree with the U.S.'s position in Iraq. This is my opinion. But the UN, what have they done? They don't do anything. They just talk. Talk. This guy probably has more to do with all the things that have gone wrong in the last 10 years in this country than any president. And here we go again. Tallahassee, Florida, Dateline. Florida Governor Jeb Bush ignored the advice to throw out a flawed felon voter list before it went out to county election officials despite warnings from state officials, according to a published report. In an email obtained by the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Florida Department of Law Enforcement computer expert Jeff Long told his boss that the Department of State computer expert had told him that yesterday they recommend that Governor pull the plug on the voter database. Guess what? It got sent out to the counties. So, is Jeb working to help his brother? I mean, what kind of a brother would he be if he didn't help? Here's one. If you believe this, then I've got some property in Las Vegas to sell you. Sharon to talk about the Gaza withdrawal plan. After more than a year of avoiding Jewish settlers, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has decided to directly confront his former supporters in a meeting about his contentious plan to withdraw from the Gaza Strip as part of the West Bank, and part of the West Bank. Disengagement. How many, 20, 25 years? How long have you guys been listening to this story? And you believe that peace is just around the corner. I think somebody can stick a fork in the Boston Red Sox. I think they're done. I know they got some games left to play, but they've pretty much had it. I can't wait for the Supreme Court ruling to come down on the Ten Commandments. I guess the court's going to hear this case next year. Want to play some bets right now on how it's going to go? I think a lot of people are going to be shocked. I think the Supreme Court's going to find a way to keep the Ten Commandments so that they can be displayed in public locations. I mean, it's kind of hard to rule against yourself when the Ten Commandments are posted inside the Supreme Court building in Washington. Please turn off your cell phones. Monterrey, Mexico. It was the reporters who noticed first, unable to call their editors while covering the wedding of the rich and famous. They asked the priest why their cell phones never worked. His reply, Israeli counterintelligence. What will these guys think of next? In four Monterrey churches, Israeli-made cell phone jammers the size of paperbacks have been tucked unobtrusively among the paintings of Madonna and the statues of the saints. Let me advise you guys out there in hotel motel land, if you buy any of these devices and use them inside the United States, you're violating FCC rules and regulations. So don't even think of it, Mr. Hotel Man and Mr. Train Man and Mr. Barfly. However, I am constantly annoyed by people who walk around with telephones. I mean, what's with it? Can't see anybody driving a car. They got a phone stuck in here. I'm at the grocery store. Hello. I just noticed that bread is 13 cents less than normally. Should I pick up one or should I pick up two loaves? Oh, you would absolutely die if you came by and saw the new display they have in the wine section here. Why do people need to use a cell telephone in a grocery store? Take a trip. Walk through it. See how many people got cell phones. People in the can. People in driving cars. How many near accidents do you see? I don't know, maybe Maybe the jammers aren't such a bad idea. Descendants of a Native American warrior, Crazy Horse, want a change in the famed Paris strip club named after him. They don't call him Crazy Horse for nothing. Descendants of the Native American Crazy Horse want to change. Alfred R. Cloud, or Alfred Red Cloud, member of the Ogallala Sioux tribe, delivered a letter Saturday to the operators of the Crazy Horse Saloon, asking them to change the club's name. The name is sacred to him, and I believe that. But what a better way to honor a famed Native American than to name a bar after him. Also, there's a website called Red Clouds. I wonder if they're going to go after those guys, too. I don't know. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Get over it, guys. We got a problem here in Pasco County, Florida, with a Native American uprising once a year. Somebody's feelings are hurt. You know, they want the Florida State Seminoles to change their name. They want, you know, come on. And what's amazing is I think it's just a handful of people, because when I talk to Native Americans, they could care less. Maybe I'm not talking to the ones that Amy Goodman talks to. Amy needs to get out more often. Here's one that's going to drive the end times people nuts. Popular 1970s game gets a big birthday party. Dungeons and Dragons. Players gathered in game stores around the country Saturday to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the grandfather of fantasy role-playing games. Remember when it all first came out? And there'd be devil worshippers and end times people all getting together and rallying, one in favor and one against. Kind of reminds you of all the fervor when Harry Potter emerged as the devil's work. I'll tell you what. The more I listen to these people, the more they make me sick. Have fun with you Dungeons and Dragons players. Here's something that we could probably take a lesson from. Surprise surplus of $9.1 billion sparks budgetary debate. It has been called an embarrassment of riches. The Canadian government, that's right, our neighbors to the north, are sitting on a surplus of $9.1 billion. It is the practice of the Canadian government to use all surplus dollars to pay down the debt. I wonder what the debt is. I wonder if it's anything near what the United States' net debt is. Okay, listen to this. This is going to make you sick. Opposition politicians want the Liberals to dip into the surplus to pay for improved health care and other priorities instead of applying it to the $501 billion debt. $501 billion debt. And the last time I looked, I think the United States had a published debt of around $7 trillion. 9.1 would take it down a little bit, I guess. But $7 trillion is the gross public debt, I believe, if you check with Barron's. Let's take a little break from my news tirades here and bring you something from that classic rock artist, Mojo Nixon.
Where do the old folks go? Where do the young kids go? What's America? is America turning into Mondo Kondo Shopping Mall? Another thing that's getting on my nerves is this national 21 drinking age. Oh, what do you think about that? A bunch of malarkey! Whatever malarkey is, man, it's a whole bunch of it. You know, if Reagan finally gets the war he's looking for, you think he's going to be drafting 21-year-olds? No, man, they're going to be drafting 18 and 19-year-olds. But you can't buy beer. Can't buy beer. You can get married and screw yourself up real good. You can't buy a beer. You can charge $8 million on the master charge. You can't buy a beer. You can vote for one fool or another. But you can't buy a beer. Because this is America. America that's run by the lowest common denominator. The money. How many units did you move, Mojo? How many things of apple juice did they sell, huh? Come on, suckers. Come on, feel it. Feel it. Yeah. I said burn down the mall. I said burn down the shopping mall. Burn down the mall. Burn down the mall. I said burn down the shopping mall. Burn down the shopping mall. All right, all you weirdos out there, all you moralistic, twisted little evil Peckers. He said, we want to censor rock and roll. We want to decide what you read, what you watch, what you listen to. Oh, Mr. Falwell. Oh, Miss Tipper Gore. Wait till I got you on the floor. We're going to tie you up inside of a shopping mall. And then we're going to have a war on drugs. A war on drugs. We ought to have a war on war, suckers. We ought to have a war on this kind of senseless American shopping mall, condominium, new car, hell. Burn down the mall.
That was Mojo Nixon with a classic, Burn Down the Malls. It's a little bit dated, but when you start hearing about America becoming the lowest common denominator and the guys that are running for president, then really, you know, not much has changed in the last 10 years or so, 20 years since big Ron Reagan was president, Ronald Reagans. I wonder if he ever thought that when he was referred to as Ronald Reagans back in the Woodstock era, that he ever thought or they ever thought that he'd be the guy who would try to push the Strategic Defense Initiative. That's where you shoot down one out of every 100 incoming nuclear weapons. And there are some arguments whether these platforms even work, whether they're even there. I'm beginning to wonder if they're even there. I mean, we talk about it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're really there. Wasn't it the Russians that used to put cardboard missile sites up so that our advanced high technology satellite imagery would detect thousands of sites when in fact there was nothing there? That was confirmed several years ago, I believe. The nice thing about this show, by the way, this is, you are listening to Get Over It. I'm Harry Spencer. And I'm going to take the same license that other commercial news people take. I don't have to be accurate. I can make stuff up. I can pontificate. And if you don't like it, well, you've been warned. The whole idea is to make you think. So you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like me. I really don't care. But I do think that the Strategic Defense Initiative was a bluff. And a bluff that may have paid off. Who can be sure? Let's turn ourselves back to the news. Well, if I had a bet on this one, I would have lost. Former President Bill Clinton, laid further low than he was expected to by heart surgery last month, will not make any more than a few cameo appearances on behalf of the Democratic nominee, John Kerry. I was fully expecting this guy to come out kind of like one of those guys on a TV evangelist show where he jumps up out of his wheelchair, throws the crutches aside, and he's healed, and he's going to move forward because I got to tell the public this election is too important to lose and stay home. But not to be had. Continued fatigue combined with continued caution from his physicians means that a frenetic sprint of last-minute campaigning, the kind of barnstorming that the 58-year-old is used to, is out of the question. He's saving himself. I predict that when they finally boot this other moron out of the United Nations, you will see William Jefferson Clinton, the next Secretary General of the United Nations. There is no mistake that this guy, it is not an accident that this guy is living in New York. I mean, why would his bride move to New York and run for the Senate? What else is in New York but the United Nations, which Clinton was a big UN guy? You can say you heard it here. Here's one for the moron category. Rapper, blacks cheered when 9/11 happened. This is from Knight Ridder Newspapers. If Osama bin Laden ever buys up a rap album, he'll probably start with the CD by Chris One. The hip-hop anarchist has declared his solidarity with Al-Qaeda by asserting that he and other African-Americans cheered when 9/11 happened. The rapper, whose real name is Chris Parker, defiled the memory of those who died in the terrorist attacks as he spouted off at a recent New York Festival panel discussion. Now get this. I say that proudly. The Boogie Down Productions founder went on, insisting that before the attack, security guards kept blacks out of the World Trade Center because of the way we talk and dress. So when the planes hit the building, we were just like, justice. Now, do you really believe that there are no blacks inside the World Trade Center buildings in New York City? This guy is an idiot. The atrocity of 9/11 doesn't affect us, the hip-hop community, he said. 9/11 happened to them, not us. He added, explaining that by them, he meant the rich, those who are oppressing us, RCA or BMG, Universal, and the radio stations. Voting in a corrupt society adds more corruption, he added. America has to commit suicide if the world is to be a better place. This guy is an absolute idiot. And you know what's dangerous? Is that you do have the people he claims that are oppressing, RCA, BMG, Universal, and the radio stations, are the people who propagate this kind of stuff. But it's a free country. I think he's an idiot. But he's entitled to his opinion, and he's entitled to promote his thoughts through music, as guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. That's just my redneck comment about that. Chris Parker, huh? I probably won't be buying anything he has anytime soon. I'm just looking at his hip-hop page now. He declares his solidarity with Al-Qaeda. What do you want to bet this guy is going to be talking to somebody at the Federal Bureau of Investigation soon? You can go to allhiphop.com. That's allhiphop.com, the world's most dangerous site, and read what this moron has to say. I would encourage it, because it pays to know what the enemy knows. since this is the 17th of October, we'd like to keep some things kind of current. Pierre Salinger, JFK's press secretary and an ABC News reporter, dies at 79 years old. Died of heart failure. Actually died of old age. He was in France. Salinger, Mrs. Salinger, said her husband left the United States because he was opposed to the presidency of George W. Bush. He thought, this is good, he was very upset because he thought Bush was not fit to be president. I gotta believe that that's not a true statement. Not that Bush isn't fit to be president, but I think Salinger was out of the United States before Bush ever got elected president. If my memory serves me correct, this is the typical journalism you guys read. And let's see what the source of this is. Associated Press. So either Salinger's wife is a liar or an idiot, or the news people. But it says he left the network by 1997 when he became a permanent backer of the theory that TWA Flight 800, which crashed off Long Island in 1996 on a flight to Paris, was accidentally brought down by a Navy missile. At the time that Salinger made those comments, he was already living in France. George Bush wasn't even on the radar screen at that time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in 1997, one William Jefferson Clinton was president of the United States. So, Mrs. Salinger, either look at a calendar or go stuff yourself. That pretty much wraps it up for this episode of Get Over It. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. You have been warned.